So just to review. So review the svaras from last time. So you have this question on Chlokas about if you have 10 guys hit somebody. Question is the last guy who hits him a Chayav Mesa? The 10 guys hit him and then the last guy kills him. The finishing touch. Kills him. So is the last guy Chayav Mesa or not? Okay, so the Tanakhama says no. Yerusha says yes. So he said the basic svara learns it out from Ishkiya Kol Nefesh. Rabbanon say you have to do the whole Nefesh. So therefore here, you're not going to do the whole Nefesh because he did only the last slap, the last slap. Whereas the Rabbi Yerusha says, no, any Nefesh called do any amount. So he said, the question is that do you say that that Misa, that killing, is like is a qualitative thing? So the guy who does finishing touch, called do Nefesh. Basically, it's a qualitative process. Whoever does the last thing, that's the killer. So I don't care, he's almost dead. I mean, 9 guys brought him to the brink of death, but that's not killing, they just wounded him. The last guy is the killer. Okay, or do you say that there's such a thing as a process, that halacha recognizes a process of killing? And if you say there's a recognition of a process of killing him, so then you say is that that you're only chayav for the entire process. See, certain times you can just do a maisa of killing, but other times the murder could take place through a process of the mold beating him down, and then the last guy finishes it. So then it's teaching you, that's what he says, is vishkiyaka kol nefesh, you have to kill the whole nefesh, means you're only chayav for the entire process. Okay, but if there's a process and you only do the final step, the other guys are helping you. That's what Rashi says, the other guys are helping you. Helping you means they're doing part of the process, so you're not chayav for that. But Rabbi Yehuda Seir holds there's no such thing as a process. He holds that there simply is killing. Simply is a qualitative thing of killing. And I think the reason why they both need a limud is because it's a natural question. Is there such an idea of a process of killing, or is it just a maisa? So, I don't know, svar alone can't really determine that. Does halacha recognize such a thing as a process of killing? Or you say, qualitative killing is a separate, as an instantaneous qualitative step. So, I mean, you have to have a limud to answer that question. You can't just svar figure it out. So they each have a limud one way or the other. One guy says, like a kol nefesh, and he said the entire nefesh means it's a process. The other one says, no, it's kol nefesh, any killing. Never kol do, kol nefesh means any nefesh that you kill. So what does it mean? It means that death is death. It doesn't really matter what state the guy's in, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is, if you go from life to death, then that's killing. What about this, though, that he says, the reason why you're chayav, you're going to say, she kirev es misasa, because you brought his death closer. Why does he say that? What does that mean? Just because he killed him? Does it mean because he brought his death closer? I mean, pshat of the thing, I think, means is that, look, he's a ghost, so he probably would have died anyways. So what are you doing? But the answer is that yeah, but he's dying now. It's true he may have died tomorrow, but he's dying today. And why is he dying today? Because you're killing. So kirev misasa, he's like, you don't say that you didn't do anything. Like, if he was going to die at 12 o'clock, and you just hit him at 12 o'clock, like you knew he was dying at 12 o'clock. So what do you say? You're not doing anything. Not killing him. I mean, he was dying. He's about to die. He's going to die at that time anyways. But it's saying is that it's not true. Like, he was on his way out. Fine. But now, right now, so he's on his way. So look, everyone's on their way. You can say, look, everyone's going to die at some point. So you could always say when you kill somebody, you're just speeding up his death. He would have died at 100 years old. Now he's dying, right? So Kirvin Sussum is that it's true he was a ghost, yes, and he was going to die. The bottom line is that right now, the timing of it, the fact that he's dying now, is because you did this Maaser Ratzicha, so you killed him. So the saying is, it is because you killed him, but you'll just say, yeah, but he would have died anyways. But yeah, but you did it now. Whereas the nowness of it is because you did Maaser Ratzicha. And the fact that it's now. Talking like descriptively, that's what you're doing. Okay, so that's the basic first step of the Gemara. Then that's Rabbi Yochanan, who's explaining the machlokas from Limudim. Right? And that's really the svaras. But then Rava comes along and starts giving you all these limitations. So the question is why do you need to go into this? Right? So Tosas asks. The Tosas Mar, he says, I forgot the Kroy Kadosh, even though they learn Psukim, it's Surfle Lani Tami. You need these reasons also. And what does he say? He says that if it's a ghost says, if he's a treifa, everyone agrees by treifa, that if you kill a treifa, you're patar, because he's dead. He's a dead man, halachically. And everyone agrees by ghost says, bidei shemayim, like he has disease and he's going to die, and if you kill him, look, otherwise he's alive, halachically, and if you kill him, you're chayav misa. The only machlokas is by this case. Is by the case, so where it's a gosis b'adam, that there's this process thing, you know? So what's he doing here? Like, why do you need that whole this other thing, you know? You explain the machlokas. You're right. I think he's doing is he's giving you, he's further refining the what the issue is. Because, fine. Let's say, like, in the original case, the first Rabbi Yochanan, you just say, is it a qualitative thing, death is death? Or do you say that no, that it's like lends itself to, like, there's quantities and there's like a process of death? But what's the case? Like, for instance, even, he's kind of like defined the parameters of the machlokas. Because even if you say death is death, it's a qualitative thing, it doesn't mean that a trefa, by trefa, you see a pata from. So you don't just say death is a qualitative thing. Because trefa is a halachic status as being dead. So therefore, even if you argue that death is a qualitative point from life to death, that doesn't mean that trefa already had that qualitative point halachically. You know what I mean? So he has to show you that even though he's saying that it's like a point and you don't say there's a process and you know it's just going from life to death, trefa is a different idea because trefa already has a status of dead man halachically. You know what I mean? So that's like a further, you may, without saying that, you may think that he's saying is, kol nefesh kol du, any nefesh, even in killing a trefa. So he has to show you, no, that's different. He has a chalashem, and so he says he has a chalashem of a mace, because his simanim are, he has a mortal wound. So he's defined as dead. You know what I mean? That's one point. And then you'll say, the other side, you'll say it means, no, it's a whole process, and therefore you have to do killing the whole thing. You do the soul killer, so maybe you'd think, oh, so by mortal, by wounds from a disease also, you'd say, look, you're not doing the whole thing, so you have to do the whole killing. The thing is like, but the thing, it doesn't mean, the whole killing doesn't mean that you have to be the sole cause of his death, because look, he has a disease, so he has a disease, but whatever, but unless you're killing him. But rather, it's showing you the concept of a process, that it's not just a matter of you have to... No, so we're just saying is that approach is maybe we should help understand Trefa better, because it's a funny idea anyways that he's a dead man. Doesn't mean he's a dead man, he's not really dead. So maybe if we understand Ghost of Deshama might be the Adam, maybe to bring them together, maybe we should think about Trefa a little bit better. And maybe we could find and bring them into further into a closer connection. So let me ask you a question. Okay, let's direct you a little bit here. But what's the deal with Trefa? So he's a dead man. Okay. So therefore what? So therefore why am I out there for killing him? I mean, look, I do kill him. Bottom line is, call him what you want, but bottom line is the guy's walking around, breathing. I mean, he'll die and whenever. But I mean, bottom line is, I'm stopping his heart from beating. I'm killing him. It's like, why am I out there? Say, well, because he's a dead man. Okay? So halachically, why am I out there? I mean, that's the reason, but like, you know, that's the cause of, but what's the, so halachically, so what's, why am I out there for killing him? You know what I mean? Right, so Maris is good. I think you have to say it lacks in the Maaser Ticha. Right, I mean, you are killing him. Right? Like, for instance, I forgot that was one of the cases, but like, in terms of Shvichas Damim, the guy's alive, he's walking around, and you're killing him. But it lacks in the Maaser Ticha, since he has a status of a mace, he's basically just awaiting death. He has a wound, which is basically he's doomed. He's just awaiting, it's just a certain amount of time for it to fall, you know? For it to fall, a short time for it to just unfold, right? But he definitely has a mortal wound and he's definitely a dead man. So halachically, he has a status like he's dead. So now, the Maaser Tzicha is lacking. Because I'm simply, so to speak, taking a guy who's already dead, who's dead like halachically, and making it a reality. You know, taking a guy who's the Omed to me, son, and making it a reality. But that lacks in the halachic Maaser Tzicha, that lacks. Maaser Tzicha halachically is where I take a guy who's a full ben chai, a full ben kayama, full life, and I'm taking him from being a live man to a dead man. But a guy who is already halachically a dead man, and it's just that he's a shem of a mace, and it's just that he's just hasn't been realized yet in actuality. So I'm just bringing his death to realization. Death, which is already inherent in his status, of bring it to realization. So that lacks in the Maaser Tzicha. Right? Okay.
So
That's why I was thinking of Matt saying that. That it's saying is it's a little bit loose, but the idea is he's just showing that just like in Trefa, you see that the Maaser Tzicha doesn't just mean spilling blood. But Maaser Tzicha like could be lacking conceptually, because the guy has the status of a dead man, so now it lacks in the full shame of Maaser Tzicha. Because he's like, he has a shame of a demes, and now you're just realizing that status. So he says, by a similar measure, if there's an entire process, a 10-step process of Misa, and you're just finishing doing the final step, that also lacks in is lacking in the Maaser Tzicha. Because Maaser Tzicha could be lacking in different regards. But that's what he's arguing, is that it's, he compares it to Trefa, that also lacks in Maaser Tzicha. When it's a ghost, it's B'day Shemayim, that doesn't lack, because the guy halachically is alive, there's no process taking place. So there's no lack in Maaser Tzicha. But here, just like in Trefa, you see there's an idea that a Maaser Tzicha has to be like in full form. So if he's already defined as a dead man, it's lacking. So too, if there's a process, so now you're not, it's lacks in the din and the status of Maaser Tzicha if it's simply one, the final step. So it's like a whole big process and you're just doing the final step. That lacks, and it's lacking in Maaser Tzicha. You know what I mean? They're similar. They're saying in a kind of a similar way, but I mean, it's like there's both of them, there's like a process, but they're not exactly the same. But he just medamele, he compares it to that, means halachically it comes under the same Torah, that it's a lack in the Maaser Tzicha. You know, and then the Maaser Tzicha has to be full blown. You see from Trefa that Maaser Tzicha has to be like a full blown thing. It's like the full action of the Tzicha. And if it's lacking conceptually, if it's mitigated based upon, it's mitigated, then that's so that you're not high for that. So what I'm doing is I'm making it looser. Like, I think in the technical sense, the process, it's not exactly the same. The way I'm answering the question is by saying is like, it says it compares, it doesn't necessarily mean they're exactly identical, it could just mean they partake of the same underlying, route towards the exemption. You know, but they're a little bit different. I mean, what's Tosas, the Marmaris, what's the stack in Tosas, Marmadami the Trefa saying? He says, even though you have the Psukim, you need these reasons. So, I mean, what's Tosas doing? He's not really helping out much, right? I mean, but it could be he's saying is don't think this is a machlokas, because we're Rabbi Yochanan and then there's Rav. So maybe you think is like they're really learning the machlokas differently or something like that. He's saying is they work together. And there's Rabbi Yochanan is explaining the svara, the bottom line point of machlokas is Rabbi Yochanan. But the scope and where to place that point of machlokas, then to put it into context with all the other halachas, you know, that's what Rav is coming to do. You know, sometimes you could do that. Sometimes you could intuit like the underlying point of a machlokas, even though you don't quite locate it. You know, and fit it in with all the other cases, and you know what I mean. They give a good svara, and they say, "Oh, what about this case? What about that case? What about, I don't know." So you may give it up. I mean, it's bottom line. Those questions could really be knockouts. You know, so you could have a very good intuition about your good svara, but about doesn't. If you can't answer those problems, then your svara is lacking. So Rava is giving you the main point, but Rava is fleshing it out and putting it into, you know, making a jive with all the other halachos and fitting it into the goals, you know. But it could be Rava, the Tosas, all Tosas had to do is to point you towards doing that. Because I think that's what I would have done if I didn't see this Tosas. I would have thought that Rabbi Yochanan was explaining it as based upon machlokas, based upon one svara, based upon the limudim. And Rava is giving you the svara, you know, those different things, you know. I mean, I think Tosas to show you, all Tosas to show you, think about it in this manner, that they go together, you know, they're complementary, Rabbi Yochanan and Rava, and then basically, then we can just finish it up, you know what I mean? It's interesting, Tosas is like minimalistic here, you know? But that's to be his derech in general. I mean, he's writing enough for you, for if you work on it, you'll get the idea. It's not necessarily spelling it out to the degree. But this is a good example, you know? Just directing you how to think about it. The Tosas, right? Okay, so top doses. So maybe we'll get some facts here, and then we'll maybe work on it for tomorrow. Let's see what happens. Migoses v'deal. So tema. Oso she'oso goses on my potter. So in the case of Goses v'deal, basically we have these guys beating him. So why is the guy who made him a goses, the first nine guys? Well, let's just say it's two guys to simplify things. Let's say one guy made him a goses, And then the second guy killed him, right? So we're saying the second guy kills him, that's the machlokas. So the second guy who kills him, chayav pater, right? Chayav pater. So he says, yeah, but why is the first guy pater? The first guy, right? That's certainly what we're assuming, right? The only machlokas is the last guy chayav pater. But why don't you say the first guy who made him a ghost is chayav? Why? Why would he be? Harov ghosts in lemisa, right? Most ghosts of them die. Majority of ghosts of them die. Okay, so what? Just because most guys die, so why does that? Why should he be chayev? The amrina, so keep going. The amrina and bereish ben sora. The whole chum dinu nefashas zacharov. Okay, so first of all, dinu nefashas we go by majority. We go by the majority. We have a right to assume majority. What's going to happen in the majority? It's that case. The principle is you go by rov. We can check the case, but fine. So what? So you go by rov. Fine. So you go by rov. But bottom line is, you still didn't kill him. So most people at this stage will die, and you go by majority. Okay, and it keeps going. So let's say you hit somebody, and someone mentioned this last time, I forgot who. Let's say you hit somebody, and you put him into a coma, I don't know, something like that. Like, you know, he doesn't die instantly. But Chabez then evaluates him that he's going to die.
The mace.
And then he ends up dying. Right? So again, you hit him, he doesn't die instantaneously. But he gets very weak, maybe in a coma or unconscious, whatever, or very weak. And they say that hit, which you did, is a hit which generally will kill. And then a few days later, or whatever, right, what do? They lock him up. They hold him in. They hold him until they see whether the guy dies or not. That's halacha. It's choshen also. But they lock him up and they wait. And if he dies, milo machayev. So then he's chayev. That's halacha. Right. So even though you didn't kill him instantaneously, but you did this hit. They're just gonna kill him, and it does kill him. So v'ha'anami amad l'misahu, and here too, he's a ghost ace, and ghost ace, you say most ghosts of them die. So what does that mean? Most ghosts die. It means we'd evaluate him to misa. So you basically made a ghost ace. We'd evaluate him to misa, and he ended up dying. So he should be chayev. Okay, there's a problem with this question. Yeah, the problem is I mean, we'll see. This is kind of his answer, but yeah, what did he die from here? Here he died from the tenth guy's hit. In the case of the you hit him and he goes into a coma, what did he die from? He died from your hit. But here he died from the last guy. So as of Yesh Lomar, you'll see, it seems like that's the answer though. The Kivan Sheikila Alav Torah Shechovashino, so the Torah is lenient on him. Right? In other words, when you hit somebody and you give him a mortal wound, right? That the Bezin evaluates that he's going to die from. Bezin doesn't kill you right away. Right? They lock you up and they wait to see if he dies or not. The Alpha Bisham Dulamisa, even though they evaluate him that he will die, in Horgan calls Machu Chai. Right? You don't kill him as long as the guy's still alive. Vizim Nun Nami Dom Dulamisa Bachai. And there are times even where they evaluate the guy's gonna die and he ends up living. Right? Alpha of the Ruba Maisa, even though a majority of them die, doesn't mean that they're always gonna die. So basically you lock the guy up and you wait. You don't just kill him right away. So since someone else came along and killed him, Potter. So you see, I'll prove it to you. You see by Ghostis B'day Shamayim, right? The guy who has the disease, right? So he's considered a live guy to say the next guy who comes and kills him is live. Even though a majority of the guys die, still, you consider this ghost to be alive. So apparently, not every one of them died. If every single one of them died, then you wouldn't say that he's considered a chai. So he would have been like a dead man. So you see, the guy's considered alive. Hilkach, ein l'dmoa because it's b'day Adam, so therefore he shouldn't be bothered by ghost b'day Adam. Im nechashavnu kechai, if we consider him like he's alive, liftar misha so ghostes, to exempt the guy who made him into a ghostes. Okay? And by the same logic, just like by Ghosts B'day Shemayim, the guy that, even though he's Ghosts Shemayim, you consider him alive such that the next guy who kills him is Michayev Misa, so too, by Ghosts B'day Adam, the guy who makes him into a ghost is not going to be considered like he's killing him because he's still considered alive. Okay? If you really care, I mean, are you following? It makes sense. I mean, it kind of makes sense. The problem, I think, is what's the Havim right now? What's his hamin and what's his maskama? But you know what I mean? Like, it kind of, when you hear the question, you already know the answer. I mean, he's saying a lot here. He's saying a lot. I mean, I guess once you get on, it's going to have to try to work out what Tosa say. He's talking a lot of that. You know, so how does it all fit in together? But, I mean, what was his problem? What was bothering him? It doesn't seem to be a question altogether. And then so once you get his question, then what's his answer? You know what I mean? So I guess so for tomorrow we'll do that. We'll take up this Tosa and Raskana. And then I just want to go further than the Gemara. Okay, so try to...
Wait, tomorrow is what? The top Tosos. Okay, yeah.
And then further than the Gemara. I think skip the proof here. I think it goes to the case of a Trefa who kills. If you kill a Trefa, and a Trefa who kills. And then it has if you, I guess, rape a Trefa, or if a Trefa rapes someone else.
We went through it already.
You went through it. You did the pshat.
Yeah, so we didn't know what to focus on.
Let's focus on.